plans. We've all got to-do lists. We've all got aches and pains. But I tell you what, for just a couple hours, maybe a couple and a half, depending on how I'm preaching, that's all on the other side of the door. And I tell you what, maybe you don't sing. Maybe you don't like to sing. Maybe you're not all that good of a singer. But for just two or three songs, we're all singing together. You got worries and burdens, and I got worries and burdens, and for a little while, here we are before our Heavenly Father, laying them down. When we look at John chapter 20, verse 24, so often these verses are used to either put down Thomas or talk about the importance of church membership, and that's good. It's important to preach on those, but I'm not going to touch those today. What I'm going to talk about is this, verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now we can tell in his reaction, in his words here, Thomas is being a little forward till I could put my hand in his side. Now nobody sits there and would have said that if he actually thought it was a possibility. Oh, and so often we think that on a day before Sunday, on a Saturday, we're, all right, gotta get up, lay my clothes out, get all the cat and dog hair off. All right, well, we gotta get up early. You know, this morning I was thinking about that. All right, I gotta get the kids up. We gotta get breakfast. Somebody gave us a gift card to McDonald's yesterday. McDonald's breakfast. I introduced the kids to it. I think I might have been for the first time introduced them to the McDonald's breakfast. Came here, did some snow. And I tell some folks, you know, you wake up and, oh, we've got to do this and hurry up. And by the time you get to church, your hair's a mess. Your head's a mess. Your clothes are a mess because you pulled into the church, you know, just on time. And the car's on fire and coming in sideways. And you're dragging people in. Let's go, let's go, let's go. All right, hurry up, sit down, sit down, sit down. And we forget to unclench. When Thomas is talking, poor Thomas, he's still clenched up from the death of Christ. He's still on edge. And these guys are coming, hey, Thomas, you missed church. And while you missed church, Jesus showed up. He tightened up. I can put my fingers in his hands, and I can put my hand into his side, then I'll believe him. Man, he's all tight. Hey, listen, we're going to have a hard time here in the sermon if we don't unclench. Listen, I've got four kids and myself. You know what I'm saying? Think about how my wife is getting all that mess out of the door. It's easy. Right? You're sitting there. You're arguing with your spouse. Or maybe it's just you're in pain. That's a valid one, isn't it? You could choose to be ornery in the morning. You could choose to have a fight in the morning. You can't choose to be in pain, can you? Whether it's emotional or physical, you can't choose that. But we still come clenched. You got to relax. And remember that the church service, the Sunday service, is meant to be enjoyed. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, verse 26, and after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Hey, did you know church services are supposed to bring you peace? I know your pastor preaches too long and almost always on sin. I get that. But did you know you're supposed to have some peace when you're here? Man, you don't have to take a single phone call while you're here. No grandkids. Hey, listen, can I have some bail money? No, I'm sure that doesn't happen. My family, it does. Probably not yours. Hey, can I borrow your car? Hey, can I? For just a small period of time, you don't have to worry about any of that. You don't have to be shoveling snow. You have some peace. You don't have to overthink about all the problems. You don't have to worry. For that time is a time to come and have peace. God commands that. Hey, peace. That wasn't just a greeting. I mean, that's how the Lord talked, peace be unto you. But he meant it. Lord doesn't use idle words, does he? Peace. Come in and have peace. I can't tell you how many times I've walked into church with my mind, as Caspian told me one time, with my mind full of bees. You ever feel like your mind's filled with bees? Just bzzz. By the time you walk out, they're all asleep. And you say, man, it was a good thing. I tell you what, once we started singing that song, things started to calm down in my head. Now, if you keep the ball in the air and you keep the bees shook up, well, you're going to have a miserable time. But if you come and you say, Lord, grant me peace. Lord, grant me some calmness so I may bring you worship today. You're going to have a different kind of experience. You're going to be you're going to get much more out of the preaching, much more out of the teaching, and you're going to bring much more into the worship time. It says to him very simply, peace be unto you. Verse 27, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. When we come into church, it's a time to acknowledge why we're here. Hey, why'd you come to church this morning? I hope it's not because you didn't want your name to be missing from the attendance list. I hope it's not because you weren't trying to participate in the rumor meal or the grapevine today. I hope it wasn't because mommy or daddy made you, or because your spouse made you, or because you were just concerned about what people would be thinking if you stayed home. You ever hear that about a man? He was sitting there and he goes, I don't want to go to church. All the people in the church, they don't like me. They're mean to me. They pick on me. Nobody ever has a kind word to say to me. I'd much rather just stay here in bed. And the wife leans over to him and says, honey, you can't stay home. You're the pastor. The reason why you ought to be here today shouldn't be because you've got a role to play. Now, you all know that was a joke because y'all spoil me. But the bottom line here is we ought to come to church because this is the Lord's house. We ought to go because we're seeking the Lord. Now, I've known people with perfect attendance. I ain't missed a day of church 35 years. But mentally, they ain't been there in 6. You know what I'm talking about? They're just sitting there. And they're fooling on their phone, or they're daydreaming, or they're writing up their to-do list for the rest of the afternoon. They're there, but they're not. Their singing is barely singing. It's monotone response. Why? Because they're just singing because it's time to sing. Well, why do I got to be there at 10 o'clock? Because that's when Sunday school starts. Okay, well, why are you in Sunday school? Because I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to be in Sunday school. Okay, well, why are you there during the worship hour? If you say you don't like to sing, why do you go? Because otherwise I interrupt everybody if I show up just for the preaching. All right, well, why do you sit there for the preaching if you think this or that about the way he's preaching, or you're bored with it? Why are you there? Because it's just, if I'm not there, people will say stuff. You could be here and not be here. When we're here, let us be here for the Lord. And if we're here for the Lord, that will color everything that we do. It'll color our desire and our drive. And I tell you what, we'd be a whole lot happier to get up in the morning. We'd be glad for it. We'd look forward to it. On Monday, I've got this, 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 and that. I tell you what, I heard somebody say one time, well, it's ridiculous to hate Mondays. It's ridiculous to not like Mondays. It's just like every other day. I go, you must not be in a job that gets worse over the weekend. Because I'll come in and 5 things were on fire. 2 people got into an argument. And we've got 16 busted toilets. You know what I mean? Like, that was my Monday. So you just, Man, there's never been a time where I've cringed having to go to church on Sunday. You know, I've come in, there have been some problems here or there all throughout the years. Hey, we come in, the pipes are frozen here, this is going on, or that's happening. But I tell you what, there's nothing that's ever been like, you come in, I beat Charlie to the snow this morning, I'm just smiling. Because I tell you what, I'd rather be shoveling snow at the Lord's house than back at any other hospital we got around here. I'd rather see you here You know, see you here than anywhere else on earth. You could host a dinner. You could host a banquet. I'd rather see people in the Lord's house. It's good. A bad day in the house of the Lord is better than a good day anywhere else. At least it can be. It can be. If our heart's desire is to have some time with God. Oh, time with God. If you were to sit there and give your life a ranking, 1 to 5, for how much time you spend with God, what would that number be? Now consider that. Now I think about this, you know, with Danielle being sick. I'm doing a lot with the schoolwork. I've spent more time with my kids than I ever could when I was working full time. There's 1 out of 4 of them. There's a little girl who doesn't know what it's like to not have daddy home at 5 o'clock. Well, obviously there's some days I'm not, but she sees it more consistently. My time has grown. And that's wonderful. It's great to have that time with family. So if we say, you know, time with somebody who's living in your house, if that's the mark for 5, what's your level of time with God? That time where you seek Him. Here on a Sunday morning, or here a time in the when it's time to be in the Lord's house, oh, there's nothing else. We remove all the distractions, we shut off the cell phones, and it is nothing but for us to sit and spend time contemplating the things of God. There's nothing else going on here, nothing to take us away. We ought to have a desire in our regular life to have it, but if you struggle to have that time, welcome to Sunday morning, where there ain't nothing else to do but this. It is a time for us to come together for Him. You're here for the Lord, I'm here for the Lord, we're here for the Lord. And I tell you what, that's what singing is. When we sing these great hymns outward, I pray that we are not just singing them, but we are saying those words to Him. That as just as much as you are singing, you are praying. There are times where I'm trying to come up with words to tell God how grateful I am, and I turn to the old hymn book because somebody already wrote those words better than I could. And I say, Lord, this song right here says everything. I'll read it out loud. I'll read it in my head. Doesn't matter. He knows whether it's in my heart or out of my throat. He knows. These ought to be our devotion to Him, our outward cries to Him. We all praise to God. Forgive me, the verse just completely left my head. I'm watching my kid walk around. But these hymns that we sing, there ought to be praises. They ought to be things that we mean. I love that song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. I love that song, It Is Well With My Soul. I love those songs. You open those up and you sing them. I'll go to the book of Psalms. And I'll say, Lord, David did it better than me. Let me say it to you. But you're singing the hymn and I'm singing the hymn. And things are going through your head. Like we sing that song, It Is Well. When I sing It Is Well, I am thinking of very particular things. Right? We talk about God's blessings. We talk about His long suffering. I love that third verse. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sins, not in part, but the whole, are nailed to His cross and I bear them no more. I'm singing it and I'm thinking of some particular things. And you're singing it and you're meaning some particular things. And God understands all of it. And we get to do that together. What a great time. What a great thing to enjoy. Isn't it good to be here on the Lord's Day? Isn't it great to set a day apart, come into His house and say, here we are. You know, people think we're nuts. So you go there in the morning? Absolutely. And then what do you do? We go home, we have some lunch, and we sit around for a while. Then what do? We come back. Well, you already went the once. You know, wouldn't it be a lot easier if you just said the once was enough? It would be easier. You know what else would be easier? A robot that would feed me, riding around in a chair that would scoot me around. There's a lot of things that would be easier, but my life's not bent towards what's the easiest thing possible. My life is bent towards what's the best, isn't it? Amen. One's good. I'm always ready for another. Always. We had somebody one time, their church was having some trouble with their building or something like that. So they had one service in the morning, and they had a quick little service in the afternoon. And then guess what they would do? They would come over and sit in our service when we would start ours, because it was one of our sister churches in the area. So they're like, well, I had nothing else to do, and I hope I don't get in trouble, but I'd like to pop on by and see how it's going. And I tell you what, we had a good time. Then everything kind of got fixed with their building or whatever was going on there. And they're like, all right, we're going back to regular services. We'll see you at the next fellowship or Bible conference or something like that. Man, desire to spend time with God. Then we get to come together. And again, I've always been amazed at the kind of person or kind of people that God brings together. Just the different backgrounds and the different experiences that we have had. And we get to rub elbows with each other. We get to see each other. We get to enjoy each other's company while we're getting closer to God. Because that's the way it works. I will never be closer to you than I am than when we're both trying to be close to God. What a beautiful thing. It is good to be among God's people seeking Him. Among God's people celebrating Him. Ever think about this? This is probably weird. When you hear people sing happy birthday, the bigger the crowd, the better, right? Because I'm always self-conscious that people can hear me when I sing. So the bigger the crowd singing happy birthday to somebody, the more comfortable I am singing. You ever sing happy birthday to somebody all by yourself? It's awkward, isn't it? Well, just think about that. Turn over, look at the person sitting next to you. Imagine you're singing them happy birthday all by yourself. Doesn't that feel weird? You know, I'll say those things to the Lord, but I love singing in a big congregation. I love telling God how great He is in a big congregation. You know, 5, 6, 10, 100, I don't care. I love the more people around us telling God how great He is, the better time I have. We lose that edge in worship because I think we just start going through the motions. No, the singing ought to be worship. And it ain't worship if our heart's not open. And if we're not sitting there shouting out these praises, talking about the greatness and the wonder of God. And I like this, man. When Thomas wasn't there, what'd they do? Thomas, man, you missed a great thing. Thomas, you missed a fantastic thing. You know what you need to do? You need to come with us, Thomas. Thomas, you need to come with us. You ever be so excited about going to church? You wanted others to see what it's like? Y'all talk to people, they had bad experiences in different kinds of churches. And I'll say, I tell you what, why don't you come to ours? You know, the lady was telling me one time, the last time I went to a Baptist church, I didn't have anything to wear but pants because I was staying at a family member's house and they wouldn't let me into the door because I was wearing pants. So I tell you, well, why don't you come to church? But you come to church with me. Last time I was in a church, everybody gave me ugly looks. Why don't you come to church with me? Right. We don't have ugly looks. At least I hope not. I have no ugly looks in our church. I mean, I've seen all kinds of people walk into the churches I've been a part of. We used to have a homeless guy come to Flat Rock. There was other churches that offered programs and things like that. He said he'd just like to come see us. Man, he'd come in. He'd sit down among us. He'd sing. He had this deep bass voice. Wasn't a member. Up until he started coming, nobody knew his name. You'd see him around the neighborhood. But man, there he was. We didn't see him for a while. And I was like, oh no. I saw him riding his bike. I pulled off into the driveway in front of him, just kind of circled back around. Hey! Man, I missed you. How are you? What are you doing for lunch, man? Why are you all right? Hey, let's go and come back. Isn't it good? And I told him, I said, man, when we're singing, I miss hearing your voice. And that was the truth. I wasn't playing the salesman there. I miss you. Look, come back. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? If it is, Man, let's bring some people with us. To be so excited. You know, I've loved that. We've had people come to visit. Well, I like how friendly you guys are. There are some people, they visit a church. They like to, I don't have an open chair. They like to hide in the back. Can't hide in the back of our church. People come find you. Well, I just want to sneak in and pop right back out. No, we'll shake your hand. We'll say, how are you? And I like that we're not always weird about it either. Some people, they'll keep the people there. They'll make them feel uncomfortable. We'll match the pace. Let them walk out as they want to. And, hey, good to see you. My name's this. What's your name? Oh, yeah, that doctor's my doctor, too. You know, whatever we do. We ought to have a heart to have people come in. A desire to see souls saved and people brought to Christ. And those people, it doesn't matter who they are. They could be the lost. They could be the weary, the backslidden. Brother Bowen sent me something this morning. Referred to people as flashlights. Because we're supposed to be the lights of the world, right? Lost person doesn't have no light. The backslidden or the weary, maybe their battery's dead. And maybe what they need is some maintenance. Maybe what they need is some love, some compassion. Maybe what they need is some encouragement. Maybe what they need is for someone to help them in their situation. Now, some people, they're quick change, like batteries. I love the battery-powered flashlights. You just pop the old ones out, pop the new ones in. But you know what I also like? I like the ones that recharge because you don't have to go buy batteries. You know the problem with that is? It takes forever for those things to charge if you didn't charge them, right? Some people, they're weary. They've gotten so backslidden, it takes them a while. So you got to leave them on the charger. Hey, come in. Come back. Come sing with us. Come hear the preaching. Come to the fellowship. Hey, we're having a fellowship. Why don't you come today? Well, I don't want to be the person who only comes for the fellowship. We're not worried about that. Trust me, there will be food left over. Come on in. I don't know about you, but I don't think, I notice stuff, but I don't think on it too much. I don't think about it too much. You know, there was a guy down at Flat Rock. I used to drop his wife off. If we were having a fellowship, he'd drop his wife off. He'd sleep in the parking lot till the service was over. Come on in for the meal. Poor fella thought he was getting away with something. We'd all go sit by him anyway. You know what I mean? Not in a mean way, not in an aggressive way, but just to sit and encourage and maybe once or twice out of the year give him the gospel. There's going to be a lot of people we see these days struggling in their faith. Poor Thomas, he was struggling. He was, we talk about his doubting. I firmly believe Thomas was a distraught man after the death of Christ. Because you don't talk the way he talked unless you're in a bad place emotionally. Man, coming into church is one of the best things you can do when you're in a bad place emotionally. It really is. And that'd be like me saying, hey, I'm having a hard time with my weight, so I don't want to go to the gym. Hey, listen, I've got this really bad cough. I don't want to go to the doctor and get anybody sick. If you're in a bad place emotionally, if you're struggling, the best place you can be is church. I knew parents, we used to pick their kids up on Sunday. Their kids would do something bad at school, so they'd punish them. You know how they'd punish them? You can't go to church for 2 weeks. I sat there in a parent's living room one time and just kind of looked at him and go, so wait a minute. Because they're being bad, you're going to take them out of church? Well, I didn't see it that way. I thought because they had such a good time there and they enjoyed themselves that maybe I was doing something. But now that I think about it, one parent, she goes, now that I think about it, I kind of get your point. Where do you go when you're upset? I love coming to church when I'm upset. I love being reminded of some things. What things are we reminded of when we come in? Well, what is it that Thomas experienced when he was a church? The Lord was there. Hey, listen, we don't always like to hear the preaching on the sin. We don't always like hearing preaching on the way we ought to dress, the way we ought to act, the way we ought to talk. We don't always like it. But you know what? We need it. You know what else we need? Every Sunday, we need to be reminded of what it cost for us to be saved. and for Thomas. Hey, Thomas. Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead. Oh, hey, Thomas. Get your hand right in there. Right in there. You see that? That's not a prosthetic. You see this? Yep, that all the way through, buddy. Right here. Now, it doesn't actually say in this passage that he did it. There. And I feel that way when I hear somebody give the gospel, when I hear a preacher preach on salvation. To me, that's what it is. It is a reminder. It is the Lord putting his hands out, going, here, this is how much I love you. This is what you mean to me. You see this? This was because you're worth it. You're worth it to me. What a great God we have. To be reminded of the gospel should be one of the most saddening yet cheering things possible. And I know those things don't go together, but there we are. When we hear about the death of Christ, our hearts, they sorrow. Oh, I can't believe he had to do that for me. Oh, the cost. I feel so guilty. I feel so ashamed. And then there's the Lord. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel ashamed. I love you. I forgive you. I'm taking all your trespasses away. I'm paying for them. Those sins that were on your back, they're now on mine. And they've been taken care of. We need to be reminded of it. When we're reminded of it, we go from the sorrow and the shame to the victory and the excitement and the joy. It's a problem I no longer have. It is a love I didn't know I had. To know that God did everything he could to fix your wretched state. I don't want to go to church and not be reminded of that. I want to be reminded all the time. Again, you hear some of these very lighthearted sermons nowadays. Not from any of the preachers I hang around, but you hear some lighthearted sermons. They want to talk about the blood. I like preachers to talk about the blood. I love the sermons that talk about like what we're talking about this morning, how good God is, how great God is, how great of a blessing it is to be able to sing his praises. I love sermons like this, but I never want to not be reminded of what it cost. Because it both focuses me and humbles me. And along with it, it cheers me. You know, think of the things you're going through right now. And you think of the love of God in your life. Doesn't that make things better? It does for me. You know, when we go through the darkest moments of our lives, or the hardest moments, or even the most physically painful moments of our lives, to be reminded that God gave everything for you. That he put his only begotten son down here on earth to live a perfect life. To die on a Roman cross for your sins. Now, of course, there is that sadness that goes with it, but the fact that your sins are forgiven, your Heavenly Father loves you, and that same Jesus that died on the cross is preparing a place for you in heaven, doesn't that just lighten it just a little bit? For me, it does. Does it take it away? Does it handle the problem directly? Do I walk away completely numb to it? No. But to know that God loves me that much, whatever problem I'm facing today, I know he can handle just as easily. There was no greater problem than your lost estate that anybody could ever have. And if he could handle that, there's nothing he can't handle. And I tell you what, we get together and we are to focus on him. Thomas, come look. Thomas, look. Where do you think everybody's eye was? Do you think during that service, do you think everybody's eyes were up in the ceiling or down in their lap or over there on some tablet device or something playing around with some Angry Birds? Do you think no, every eye was on Christ. A good church service is a church service where everybody's eyes are on Christ. I still have a problem with my clothes every now and then, but I preached one time and my collar was like this. And a lady came up, dear lady, I don't know her name, came up and she fixed it for me. She goes, the whole time you were up there, that's the only thing I could think of. I'm like, well, number one, I must be a miserable dresser and a miserable preacher because the point of us getting together was for not for you to be looking at my wardrobe but for you to be considering the Word of God. Right? That ought to be our goal. Well, I've heard a lot of sermons. You know what? Thomas had seen Jesus a lot of times. All the other 10 disciples that were in the room, they'd seen Jesus a lot of times. What'd they get together for that morning? To see Jesus. They got together for that. Every eye looking at those scars on his... they weren't scars yet, but on those wounds in his hands. And that wound in his side. And you know, that wasn't the only thing that was there. His body was still in the same state from what we understand, because nobody seemed to recognize him at first until they took the time to really look at him. Why? Because they beat him in his face. And it was still swollen and bruised. They'd pulled his hair out. They'd plucked his beard out. He didn't look the same. We were joking at the house. Somebody told me I needed to shave my beard down. And I sat there, I said, I don't think Melody would recognize me at all. Melody has never seen me with a clean face. Consider that for the Lord. Well, it seemed like people had a hard time recognizing him. He was in some rough shape. Now, was he moving? Was he able? Yeah, but his face was different. His face would have been swollen up a little bit. Why? Number one, for the hiding it from other people. And number two, as a reminder. They're looking at what happened with the thorns. And they're looking at the marks on his face. We need to focus on Christ. And I'll tell you this, they were hanging on every word. Every word he said. At least I would be, wouldn't you? I would love to sit there and been there on the... I would love to sit there and been there for any one of the Lord's sermons. Just to hear what kind of a preacher he was. And just of course, I'm not sitting here trying to see if he was good or bad. I know he was great. We got him right here. But I would love to hear it live. Just to be affected by it. Man, wouldn't that be good? To hang on every word. Well, we've got his word written in this book. And it is so very often preached. It is a time for us to get together and turn our ears, our eyes, and our mind to nobody else but God. It makes our burdens lighter, fills us with joy, gives us peace that doesn't make sense for our situation, grants us happiness. Amen. To be able to be reminded of what happened with his hands and his side, we need to remember it every day. But not in a miserable, sad... there was a sect among the Pharisees, or sorry, the Sadducees. They were called the Bleeding Sadducees by history, because they would go around and they would mutilate their flesh to show, just how contrite they were over their sin. And they would wound themselves, they would cut, they would bang themselves in the face, they would cut pieces off of their ear, just walking around showing how religiously devoted they were. Kind of gross. God never asked for it. And we're not supposed to be walking around like the bleeding Sadducees. Just bleeding from the heart, feeling miserable. God did all what he did. Jesus did everything that he did for you so you could be happy. So you could sit there in your problems and know that no matter what happens on this earth, heaven's waiting for you on the other side. That while you struggle to stay close to God here on earth, there will be a time when you can sit right in front of him. And it is to bring us joy, and it is to bring us comfort, it is to bring us encouragement. But to go and touch the hands and the side of Christ, we need to do that every day. And what that's going to do is, instead of making us miserable, what that'll do is that'll lead us to daily worship. But if we're doing it every day, what will Sunday worship be like? Well, we'll rattle the chandeliers. We get our hearts primed for worship. If we're used to it. But if we're dusting the heart off, and we're dusting the pipes off, or we're on a Sunday morning just to get that song out there, it works. But man, wouldn't you like to enjoy it? I use this illustration. I got to stop picking on my kids, but I'm going to pick on this one because she's so cute. We were listening to kids, Christian kids' songs that tell stories. And one of them kind of had a bit of a, you know, a little bit of a whop to it. And she sits there, she starts doing this. I got a video on my phone. Now, the Baptist in me was, we don't dance. But the softy in me was sitting there going, all right. And she's got this little stool that she sits on. It's shaped like a cow. It's this little baby seat and it's shaped like a cow. And she's just sitting on it. She's just... Now listen, I put a stop to it because dancing. But when was the last time you sat there and heard something Christ-centered and it moved you? Not like that, but it moved you. When was the last time you sang a hymn on a Sunday morning and you enjoyed it? If it's been a while, you need to check your heart. That is the clearest sign that there's not daily worship going on. Well, how do I get back to it, brother? I just told you. You need to touch the hands and the side. You need to remember how you got here. And once you look at, you'll have no other choice. Let's look at Thomas. What did Thomas say when he said, hey, look at this. Again, it didn't say in this particular passage that he did it. This was his response. My Lord and my God. That's my Lord. You take a look at those hands and you're going to say, that is my Savior. Why do we call him Savior? Because we were dying and headed to a devil's hell. But God in his mercy sent his son to die on the cross so that that fate wouldn't happen. So that we wouldn't get what we deserved. So we call him Savior. There was a preacher, Jonathan Gordon, sang that song. No wonder we call him Savior. No wonder we call him Lord. Jesus, God's choicest favor. Of course he is. That is my Lord. And not just my Lord, not just my Savior. He's my Master. My teacher. He's the one who teaches me to turn the other cheek. He's the one who teaches us how to do church. He's the one who teaches us how to forgive. And he demonstrated all of it. That line between being merciful and having righteous anger, he taught us where to draw it. He's my master. Oh, what a tangled web we would weave without him. I've said this more often than not here recently. Just looking at different things that people get themselves to. And I say, I'm so glad I'm old-fashioned. So glad I'm old-fashioned. You know, I was talking to somebody. They're having a hard time. They're fighting to get their child support reduced. And his complaint was, well, when you have kids with different women, they don't always calculate properly that you got to even it out among them. They're just kind of coming after me. And I sat there, I just kind of want to put my arm around them. How many? Well, it's three different women want a percentage of my money. Three? Good thing I'm old-fashioned. I understand a one. You know what? You might get me with two, you know? But three? That's like that woman at the well. Go get your husband. Well, I don't really have a husband. That's right, you've had five husbands. Five? At no point you wanted to pump the brakes? The guy tells me, he goes, well, I go out to the club and one thing leads to another. I go, aha, I got you. Don't go to the club. You're allergic. Every time you go out and you drink, you break out with children. Stay home. This is the recklessness. Just the recklessness. Why is it that we don't do that? Why is it that I'm not like that? And I go, we gotta be. Why am I not like that? Because of the grace of God. You have to remind yourself when you're seeing people do things in the world, the reason why they're doing it and you're not is because of the grace of God. Because you would probably do that too.
I would never. Don't you? Come on. Are you one of them special sinners? Are you one of them special sinners that know the difference between right and wrong all the time? Hey, let's head on down to the prison, take a head count. Who here meant to do the thing that brought you here? You know what I mean? The only reason why is because God taught you, God led you, and you got the Holy Spirit to prick you. That's why. That's it. And you could still mess up. So when we get here on a Sunday morning, it is our time to see those hands in our side, and those hands in His side, and go, my Lord, my Lord. And what else did He call Him? My Lord and my God. Well, what's the difference? Not only are you Jesus who you said you were, but you're the Son of God. Who else could you be but the promised Messiah, the Son of God? And if anybody, it's not just some random God out there, it's my God. The one I love, the one who loves me. The one who formed me in my mother's womb. The one who watched over me and cared for me. The one who made it possible for me to make it this far. The one who brought brought me to growth through trials and tribulations. The one who protected me from a lot of pitfalls and troubles. That is my God. And I will listen to Him. And I will love Him. And I will be glad to be in His house. Talking to somebody recently about my great-grandmother. When I had a sick day, my great-grandmother was the place where we would go. And she'd always had a can of SpaghettiOs and meatballs. And when you were sick, you'd sit in the chair, you'd watch garbage daytime TV, and you would eat those SpaghettiOs. I tell you what, I hated being sick. I hated missing school. Not because I was a good student, but just because it was a big hassle in the morning for my mom, and it made her uncomfortable. It made me uncomfortable. But anyway, I loved going to my Grammy's house. And she'd sit there, and I didn't understand any of the thing the people on the daytime television were talking about. But I just loved being with her. She'd say some fun stuff. She was a dear, sweet woman. Hard woman. She didn't suffer foolery at all, but she was a wonderful woman. You know, I sit there now, you know, she's passed long ago, and man, how much fun it would be on a Thanksgiving to go back to Grammy's house. On a Christmas day. We went to Grandma's on Christmas Eve, Grammy's on Christmas Day. Oh, man, how I long to go back there. If we loved God like that, oh, how we would long to be in His house. Oh, how we would desire for Him to surprise us with something out of His Word. For us to sing a song and be emotionally moved by it. For us to hear something we've heard 1,000 times. And for it to click with us. Even just to have that closeness to say, I was in His house. Now we can do that. We can sit there and say, well, God's with me everywhere I go. Yeah, but it's something nice when we're in the house of the Lord with it. I enjoy God's presence everywhere just like you do. But man, there is something special when the whole family's together. Anybody can go visit Ma, but I tell you what, when everybody's visiting Ma, isn't it nice? When you got the whole house together, my friends, please let us see how wonderful it is to be able to see what God has done and cry out, my Lord. Cry out, my God. We would get up early. We would flock to the church. We would be excited. And again, I'm talking to people who are always here. You guys are here. We don't have a big disparity in our church attendance. We got a good balance of vacation to be in here time. I've got no complaints for how this church handles attendance. But I'll tell you this: there's a difference in the heart and the way we come in, and the way we approach the services. You know, we think about that. In what manner should I come into church? You know, we put a lot of emphasis on dress and things. You know, I heard something yesterday, and I'm just going to say it like this. When you come into the church, come in respectfully. Right? That's it. When you come into the church, come in respectfully.
Does that mean a suit and a tie and what do they call those things? Cufflinks? You know? Women with their giant hats that kind of look like they would be nice on a table at a nice dining setting. You ever see those? You can't tell if it's a wedding cake or a hat. You know? We come in, well, where'd you get your tie? And I'm suddenly drawing a blank because I didn't bother researching fancy places to get ties. But, well, I got it from this. It's an Armani tie. It's a fancy Armani tie. You know, you could come in with a $10,000 outfit and absolutely nothing happened for you. Come in dressed respectfully. So whatever clothes you got, you look at them and say, well, what's more respectful? When I was first come to church as a kid, I had jeans with holes and jeans without holes. I wore the jeans without holes. And for a lot of folks, that's what they got, man. That's it. Some people, they like ties. Some people don't like ties. Some people dress to the nines. Some people can barely make it to the fours. Do what you can. You know, I don't know what that means, so if I just said something offensive, I'm sorry, but just come in. But I would much prefer, if you're going to put the emphasis on something when you come into this church, you put it on the heart. You put it on the heart. I would rather see blue jeans and t-shirts and a humble heart than tuxedos and fine dresses and a bunch of noses in the air and plugged ears. I would rather people come in looking for the Lord. I hope the Lord's there today. Some of you, I do that when I come into the church. I might not always come up and talk to you, but I'm watching for you. And I don't do it this because I'm a young person, so you can't do it out loud all the time. But in my head, yes. I do. I see people come in, certain people, yes. Not because I like some people other than others, because some people have a harder time coming in than others. So glad. But I tell you what, much more. I want to come in. I want to hear that devotion. Men, I rely on that devotion. I need that devotion. Your pastor needs that devotion. So if you're ever sitting there and you're going, well, I'll do this, but I really don't know who's getting anything out of this. I really don't know who's paying attention. I'll promise you, I can't speak for anybody else. Your pastor needs that devotion. And he has been fed good from that devotion. I look forward to it. Because y'all see things a different way. Y'all remind me of things I haven't thought of for a little while. Or you'll be right along with me on something I've already thought. I love it when the devotion matches up with what it is we're going to preach on. So they say, that's right in the neighborhood of what we're looking at. I love that too. Why? Because it's God's hand working through everything we're doing. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. And I tell you what, we can't forget how good it is. To show up with a heart that says, I enjoy being here. I'm glad for it. And as we're walking through the church, man, I'm so glad. Look at what we have here. Look at what we have there. Now, don't tell anybody from Flat Rock. Don't tell anybody from Flat Rock. I was walking through Flat Rock and went back down to where they have the fellowship area. Man, I've spent so much time in that fellowship area, either running around the ring in the floor that we painted on there or setting up tables and taking down chairs and then setting them, or taking them down, setting them back up, and then taking them down and setting them back up. And just doing that for years. I've sat down there for fellowships and things like that. And I went back in there, and I was sitting there, and I just kind of... It's like, you know, I like our setup. Love theirs, man. That was amazing. But man, that's weird. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say there. That was my home. And there's, in my heart, that's still home. But I couldn't wait to get back here. Saturday was great. Friday was great. Saturday was great. Danielle came with us on Saturday. Oh man, my heart was beating like, oh, I was so excited. Man, she felt up to doing this. I've watched her struggle for the last 2 weeks. Everything's going great. Man, this is fantastic. I could not wait till Sunday morning to sing these songs with you people and to open the book with you people. So I guess if I'm saying anything, it's this. On a Sunday morning, unclench. On a Sunday morning, remember what God can do. On a Sunday morning, keep your eyes on Him. Now, what about Sunday night? Yeah. What about Wednesday night? Yeah. What about Friday morning? Yeah. What about Thursday at 2:30 p.m.? Yeah. What's going on Thursday at 2:30 p.m.? I don't know. Whatever you're doing, it's good to have your eyes on Him. You know what I'm saying? Every hour of every day is a good time to have your eyes on the Lord. But isn't it good when we could do it together? So relax and worship. A lot of churches know how to sing. Seldom know how to worship. Let nothing we do be out of habit or out of necessity, but everything. Lord, we're going to sing now. And I tell you what, I want God's attention the way my kids want my attention. You know what I mean? God, we're going to sing now. Will you hear us sing? Will you listen to us sing? We're going to sing now. Now, when those kids say, when the kids talk like that, what do they want from you? They want you to enjoy it. They don't want you to look like you enjoy it, right? They don't want you to pass. So, oh, that's very nice. That's very nice. No, they want to make you smile. So when we're to our Heavenly Father, we're the same. Lord, we're going to sing now. And this is a good song because it talks about that time you did this. We're going to sing now. And I'm going to remember today while I'm singing this song, that thing you delivered me from on Monday and those answers to prayer that you gave me and those trials that I'm going through right now. And over here, they're going to be thinking about these things. And we're all going to be bringing this stuff to you to say thank you. Now we're going to sing this song, Lord, we're going to sing this song. And they're hurting, and they're hurting, and they're sad, and they're grieving. And we're going to come together, and we're going to sing the song talking about how we know that you have it all under control, and your grace is sufficient no matter what the problem is, okay? We're going to sing the song to you. Man, if we could just get into that, what a great time we would have. So far beyond talking about, hey, make sure you're in Sunday school, hey, far beyond how you're dressing, far beyond all those things, I hope you enjoy church, the services. Not because of the songs, not because of the character of the preacher, not because of the entertainment value, no. I hope you're enjoying time with God. And if you're not, I encourage you to explore enjoying time with God at home. And you'll do a whole lot better on a Sunday morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it would have been enough if you saved us, but Father, you invite us into your house every week for us to sing praises and worship you. And Lord, we know you didn't tell us how often to come, but we have this tendency to want to come for morning services, evening services. Lord, we get tickled about coffee breakfasts and Bible studies and ladies and men's fellowships and Bible conferences and, Lord, all the things that we do. We get excited to do them. But, Father, I pray that we do not leave the next generation without teaching that excitement. Help us to never lose the joy of your house. You know, David, he said he rejoiced when he was told to come into your house. He also said one thing he desired of you was to be in your house, to behold your beauty, and to inquire in your temple. Lord, let us have the same heart and the same mind. To Lord, rejoice in being in your presence today. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.